You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, September 28th.
We always stall because we go, okay, what's today? What's 2 days from today?
Yes.
Because we usually
that's exactly a month from Emily's birthday.
It is. We usually record on Monday, so that's the behind the scenes. That's the look behind the curtain at the Wizard of View from the Couch.
Except that you tell them that, like, every other episode, so not much of a mystery anymore.
You're cruel and hurtful.
I'm just saying it like it is.
I'm just teasing you. Just teasing you. And if it makes you cry, that's your problem, not mine.
Right.
Oh, welcome to How to Parent. That's what you do. We make them feel guilty. Make them feel guilty and bad. And then it's their fault.
Right.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Builds amazing
character.
Self-esteem.
It too. Does. And that's what, it's funny talking about that. Makes me think of Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy from Saturday Night Live so many years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes when it rains and a child asks why it's raining, you just say, it's probably because God is crying. And then they say, why is God crying? And then you say, probably because of something you did.
You made him sad.
Yes. I need to find a copy of the Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy book. It just makes me laugh. I've always been scared of clowns. Probably goes back to that time I went to the circus and a clown killed my dad. Oh, I love that one.
That's cute.
That is a good one.
So we do have a big high school reunion coming up. Now you don't want to go.
Well,
and you bought tickets and now you don't want to go.
See, they're... Oh, curse them and their Facebook and their PayPal. I don't know.
They made it too easy? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah.
And you...
They sucked me in. They social media'd me in. I'm mixed. I went to the... Do you remember how I reacted to the 20th? This is 25 this year, by the way. So, the 20th...
Well, last time we went was the 15th, I think, or
no,
something.
I think it was 20. Yeah. It was 20.
You think it was...
I think it was 20. Because otherwise, 15th is 10 years ago. It wasn't 10 years ago. It's 5.
Okay.
Yeah. So the 20th... It was good. It was a relatively small group. Had it at a nice lounge and... Everybody hung out, and it was funny because everybody
kind of... Small? There was a lot of people there.
Was there?
Yeah.
I remember it being small.
No, there was a lot of people there.
I gravitated towards my friends from high school, and we just hung out all night.
Well, that's kind of how it works usually.
Which is... It's too bad in a way, because I'm so much cooler now than I was in high school. I think, really, there should be a... I should have a signing. People should just kind of come and want to talk to me.
Or maybe you just need to upgrade your friend group. Okay, I'm too cool for you guys now, so yeah. I'm moving up to the cooler kids.
I'm moving up to the over 40 losing my hair group, which is over here. And I think I said, I'm just going to touch on this again briefly. I think I said when, at my last reunion when we talked about it, it was weird because there was two distinct groups of people at the reunion. And I bet it's going to be the same or even maybe more noticeable this time, 5 years later. There was the changed a bit. You know, I lost some hair. A friend of mine went pretty much white. Couple people, a few pounds picked up, lost a few pounds. And then there was, oh, good Lord, what happened to you?
Right.
But there was one girl who was in her favor because she was tall. Like, she was probably about 6 feet. And she was generously proportioned back in the days. And I don't just mean above the waist. I mean overall.
Right.
She was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost a ton of weight. And it was cool because to her credit, it wasn't a in your face, you guys suck. It wasn't like that. It was because she was really cool in high school and she was really kind and really nice. And it was just like, good for you. Like that is, I'm so happy for you. That was cool. But yeah, then there was people like, gravity is really pulling down on you that hard?
Yes.
Like, I'm walking on the same planet, and it's not affecting me as much as you. But weird. I don't know, really weird.
Well, I think some people just don't age as well as others, and what do? It's a genetic thing. Or if you smoke or partied too much or
yeah.
had bad dental hygiene or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't take care of yourself.
No library card. Didn't educate yourself. You know, that kind of thing. Right. It all affects you.
Yeah.
It all gets you right here.
In the end, it shows.
Yeah, so 25. I don't know. Why? Because it's a date night with you. I mean, if it totally blows, I'm still there with you and we hang out and make fun of people. No, we wouldn't do that. Well, we might. Yeah, so then you and I are at least there and we can hang out or whatever. And I'm sure a lot of my friends will be there. And I'll. But it's hard because these are not people that I keep in touch with every day.
No.
Right?
No.
So a lot of them, the last time I talked to them was 5 years ago.
Yes. Most of them. Have you talked to any of them since?
I'm going to go with no.
And some of them were good friends of yours.
Yeah.
That you...
And still are. See, and that's the thing is, push comes to shove, they still are, a lot of them. So, but, you know, we have kids. We have kids of a certain age that other people don't. Other people either were married and are now divorced or separated, didn't ever have kids. Like, the differences, maybe in high school, the differences were social status or family income status or whatever.
Or appearance.
But now it's like life, how your life has changed in terms of, you know, how busy are you?
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, I've been noticing on Facebook, a lot of people don't even live here anymore. They're talking about coming back to Edmonton from Vancouver or Toronto or somewhere in the U.S. And lots of people have just said, hey, guys, have a great time. Can't make it.
Yeah.
Because of work or whatever. It's just too far. I mean, you're not going to spend $3,000 to come to Edmonton from
wherever.
Somewhere in the U.S. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's pretty boring.
Well, no, it's kind of, everybody goes through it, though. It's like a life thing.
It is a life thing. And
it's interesting because I think you always, when you graduate from high school, you always think, oh, I can't wait till our reunion. We can come back and, you know, throw it in each other's face how well we've done. And you think it's going to be so exciting. And then it actually shows up and you're like, huh, okay, I don't really want to go, actually.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because I think I was more interested last time than I am now. And I don't know if it's only been 5 years or maybe the realization of, like you said, I haven't really kept in contact.
So what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact there are a few friends of mine that will be there that weren't last time that I haven't seen. So that'll be neat. But
yeah.
So we stay for 10 minutes, have our couple of drinks and our appetizer and hit the road.
Exactly.
Take a couple of pictures of each other and then leave.
An hour in, we're good.
That's right. Yeah, and we're not, I mean, I'm certain, I don't come from a big party crowd from high school either, so it's not like we're going to go, ooh, let's relive all the memories and be there until 4, so.
No. True enough. Okay, now it is time to move on.
Yeah, that's my tragic life. Do we lump all this in under Coach Entertainment News? I guess some.
No. Well,
I'm doing it. Coach Entertainment News. So, the reason I say Coach Entertainment News is because I just wanted to talk about a couple of things. First of all, the tragedy that we cannot make it to Disneyland this year when we had been talking about going for Halloween around Emily's birthday.
Right.
The kids are handling it quite well, actually. They've brought it up here and there, but they get that Dad had a nervous break. No. Dad, you know, we had a big change. Had the health issues in the summer and we're back on our feet, but it's not quite the same. Like, it's not like I have my corporate job still where, oh yeah, I have 3 weeks vacation and the money in the bank. So it just isn't going to work right now.
No.
So, which is unfortunate because we were kind of trying to do the every 2 years thing and we did 2007, 2009. Anyway. So, big changes in Disneyland, of course. Star Tours has been upgraded. That's a few months ago now. Disneyland is now gearing up for Halloween and all of that decorating has been done, I think, now. So Haunted Mansion Holiday becomes kind of a Halloween / Christmas theme that and they actually do a Christmas transition. So Haunted Holiday, I think it's called Haunted Holiday. First, it's a little bit more of a tweak for Halloween and then even more for Christmas. So. But Halloween runs quite a long time at Disneyland, the festivities and things. mask or the some of the characters in costume in Halloween costumes, and you can buy special tickets for trick or treating around. And I think it's Saturday nights, so there's a few in a row if you happen to be vacationing down there anyway and are going to Disneyland anyway. You know, you can buy these special tickets, and it's after park hours and trick or treating and all kinds of stuff that you can do.
Sounds so fun.
And speaking of Disney, I didn't mention this probably a week or two ago when it was announced, but a huge deal has been signed with Lightstorm Entertainment and James Cameron to create an Avatar-themed area at Walt Disney World. So, kind of weird. I don't really get why that intellectual property versus others. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier to market. I don't see how 10-foot blue people are going to work.
I don't know.
Kind of weird.
I guess they'll figure something out.
So people are just kind of excited about the possibility of experiencing the Navi world on Pandora, either outdoors in some sort of attraction or on a dark ride in indoors somewhere.
Or maybe both.
Maybe both. And obviously there will be character meet and greet kind of stuff, so there probably will be huge people, but they made the Incredibles look pretty cool. So
yeah, I'm sure
it's probably possible the Imagineers know what they're doing.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Again, really weird why, I mean, I know with Islands of Adventure down in Walt Disney World, they can't do the Marvel approach as much, but maybe that's why they went that direction. Just found another opportunity, and until they're able to do the Marvel stuff bigger in Walt Disney World, they're doing something else in the interim, I guess.
Could be.
And it's not like Avatar has no marketability with two more movies coming.
Right.
And you were underwhelmed by Avatar, though. You didn't really like it.
I don't know. It felt a little too, I don't know. Too James Cameron-ish.
Really?
Yeah. Like, maybe it, you know, the parent, okay, director-actor pairings, right? Sigourney Weaver and James Cameron. Yeah. And,
Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. And Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, right? Okay. Yeah. I get all that. But after a while, it just starts to feel formulaic. It's like, oh, another Tim Burton movie with Johnny Depp in it. Oh, another James Cameron movie with Sigourney Weaver in it. Like, whatever.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think I probably would have been more into it. It would have felt more fresh to me if she hadn't been in it.
Right.
If it had been in it, somebody completely unassociated with James Cameron in the past.
Interesting. Fair enough.
I guess for me, that was part of it. The other part of it was how...
You don't like aliens, really.
Well, no, it's not that so much. But how they went into those things and became other people.
Right.
Hasn't that been done somehow, somewhere?
Or they
became robots, or I don't know. That felt like I'd seen it somewhere, too. I don't know.
Well, and you know, there was a lot of criticism of Avatar when it came out that it was too much like about three or four other movies kind of all smashed together into one.
And so maybe that was my problem. I don't know.
Maybe there was some been there, done that-ness that you perceived, whether consciously or unconsciously, that kept you from not enjoying it.
Yeah. So it was kind of both of those things.
Still in fall. Do you want to talk box office? You talk box office.
All right.
This one surprised you.
Well, I didn't even hear anything about this, and I don't recall us talking about it. I don't recall seeing any advertising for it, but The Lion King in 3D came out 2 weeks ago and is totally blowing the doors off of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I didn't hear about it. Was the advertising that bad, or was I just that not paying attention?
I mean, we listened to radio. I didn't hear anything.
No, it was weird. So anyway, maybe if we'd been to a movie in the last month or two, we would have seen a trailer.
Last year or two.
I don't know. But anyway, still at number one this week is The Lion King in 3D, and doing amazing. 22.1 for the weekend.
Yeah.
61.6 since it came out 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So it's doing really well.
And it'd be interesting to know what the cost of the 3D upgrade was.
I bet it wasn't
61.6 million.
No, I bet it wasn't. Now I'm thinking, I bet they're going to do this with a bunch of the other ones. I wonder what will be next. That's what I'm wondering.
Mermaid will probably come at some point.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
And Lion King isn't even out on Blu-ray yet.
Well, maybe this will be the time now. Once it comes out of theaters, they'll put it on Blu-ray and sell it that way.
Yeah.
That would be smart for them to do.
And if 3D is doing so well for Lion King, the 3D home video release on Blu-ray will probably sell quite well, potentially. You know, there's still that really prohibitive cost of I have to buy a 3D TV and I have to buy 3D glasses that are $200 or $300 a pair.
Yeah. But even if they just released it in
theaters,
on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
A Blu-ray version.
Yeah, huge.
It would still be following up on the success of the theater run, right? So
everybody has had their appetite wet again and their memory revived.
Yes. So the next four were all out for the first time this week.
Yeah.
Moneyball is in second place at 20.6 million. Dolphin Tale. Is that the one about winter?
Yes.
Oh. Cool.
Very interesting to me, too, as we look at this. Moneyball and Dolphin Tale, as Michelle said, both came out this weekend, and they both did just over $20 million. Weird.
Very close, yeah.
20.6 and 20.26. Weird.
Then fourth, it was Abduction with 11.2 million. And then in fifth place, Killer Elite with 9.5 million.
Hmm.
Number six, in its third week out, was Contagion with 8.5, so still holding on pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the big movie of the fall, they're saying, so maybe that's the one to see next.
We need to.
Number seven was Drive, 2011. What does that mean?
I believe there was an earlier film called Drive.
Oh.
Must have been.
Okay.
That would be the clarification there. I don't want to use the word, but it could be a remake.
Well,
probably is a remake.
Yeah. 5.7 in its second week. At number 8, The Help in its 7th week. Still in the top 10. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
4.4 million and at a total of 154. Seriously?
154 million.
No, that is 1,550, right? How do you read that number?
150.
It's just over a million. That's what it is.
Well, it's
1,000,005.
Well, it says 154.4 million. That's wrong. That's a typo. That's a typo. Typo on Box Office Mojo. Must be.
Well, no. It's just over a million in the seventh week, right?
No, but I'm just looking at the total gross so far. 154 million? I doubt it.
Why?
Because look at some of the others. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
All right, number nine, Straw Dogs.
Which is a remake because the original had Dustin Hoffman in it.
Okay. 2.1 million in its second week. And rounding out the top 10, I don't know how she does it.
I don't either.
And I don't even know what that is. 2.0 million in its second week.
2.0 million.
Yep.
Excellent.
2.05 there.
So that is so that's the box office for this past weekend. Now,
you know what the sad thing is? We were talking about we should go see
Contagion?
Yeah. But we still haven't seen Pirates.
No, Pirates 4.
And we
4.
Still haven't
Transformers Ark of the Moon.
Yeah. Was that the two that we were wanting to see? Oh, no, Harry Potter.
But we
did see that.
Yeah, we did see that.
That
was the kidney night. That was a week before wound up in the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel kind of uncomfortable. Wow, I feel like someone has jabbed an ice pick in my back, but I'm going to sit here for the next hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, that was really dumb.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
That's the extent of my love.
Yeah, right.
So we watched a whole bunch of new fall shows, season premieres, as well as new series. New series-wise, Person of Interest. I was really interested in seeing this, and
I
don't know what caught my attention. I think
it was the rave reviews. Whenever there's rave reviews about something, then you want to see it.
Well, I'm just curious, but I think the combination was love Jim Caviezel.
Yeah,
Jim is fantastic, and you know, whether it's The Passion of the Christ or Outlander or some of the other projects he's been in the last few years, just fantastic. Just he's a fantastic actor. And then also Michael Emerson, who is the Emmy-winning actor from Lost. So Michael Emerson is quirky and great. And so I knew they were leading this series, and just very interested in, and created by Jonathan Nolan, who everybody knows is a great, he's Chris's brother and a very, very talented man. I didn't know this. The music is done by Ramin Djawadi, and he's a great composer. He did the original Iron Man score. He's an excellent composer. He's kind of just really hitting the big time in his career now. So CBS, and the other piece that had obviously caught my attention is the screenplay was developed by J.J. Abrams with Jonathan Nolan. So, you know,
two. And I think the other thing that made you sit up and take notice, and possibly other people as well, is that they bumped CSI to put this in its slot. So. Yeah,
and I had kind of heard that a while ago, so, you know, that's, and we'll get to the CSI bumping in a minute, but, yeah, so there, the pilot had been shown to critics in advance of the fall debut, obviously, and the feedback was just huge. So CBS suddenly went, CSI, the granddaddy CSI series has been around a long time. It's probably in the twilight years of its run. And this show has tested really well, so let's give it the best shot we can. So it's what it is Mr. Finch, who's played by Michael Emerson, is a mysterious billionaire. He's developed a program post 9/11 that is used to identify potential terrorist threats and risks on an international scale, but particularly as they relate to the United States
and most specifically New York.
Yes, and as a byproduct of this system, it also this program also identifies a secondary threat risk, and those are. What it comes down to is that it identifies only by social security number. It just pulls out this constant stream of numbers. Someone who will be either a witness, a victim, or a perpetrator in a violent crime, and quite likely involving murder, it seems. So Finch is this billionaire. He's created this program. He created the program for the U.S. government, and he's basically held on to this secondary list. And he's just been haunted by this and needs to figure out what to do, how he can use it, how he can act on it, how he can prevent these things from happening because he has this foresight thanks to the program. So he finds a mysterious guy. His name is John Reese. And what I was describing the show to my brother today, and I just said to him, it's funny because the Finch character, when he meets this guy, he says, he calls him Mr. Reese, and he says, I believe that's a name you're fond of using. So right there, it's kind of like, is that his name, or is that just one alias this guy has? He's incredibly mysterious. As much as it feels stereotypical in a lot of ways, it feels a bit like The Equalizer. It feels a bit like Remo Williams and the Destroyer novel series. So some guy who's basically dead to the world and has a mysterious past, is suddenly this vigilante justice kind of guy. Anyway, it works. I think it really works. Jim Caviezel wears this role very well, and the warm, happy side of him that you see in other roles is not really there. And he's, right from the way he speaks to the way he carries himself, it's just it's a fascinating character he's created. So really, we watched the pilot, really exciting, very action-packed, very, well-written, character development was really good, and it just really caught my attention anyway. It really whet my appetite, and I mean, I would have kept watching, and I actually want to go back and watch the first episode again at least once, because I know I missed stuff, and it was just really engaging.
And it's... As much as you were taken in by it, I wasn't as much, but right. I still did enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it felt bigger than a TV series.
Yes.
Like, it almost felt like It kind of reminded me a little bit of The Fugitive, too.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, that's a really good point. It's a bit like The Fugitive. It's a bit like the Bourne concept little bit.
So it kind of feels bigger than for TV.
Yeah.
But still managed to wrap up the story nicely within its 1 hour time frame. And
yeah.
So yeah, it was good. It was for, you know, it's a promising start anyway. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah. And, as much as every time I get behind a series and get really excited about it, they get canceled. I don't see this being canceled. You never know.
Well, if it's already in the CSI time slot, it's probably not going to go anywhere too soon.
Yeah. Just to expand a little bit on the rating or the test, according to CBS, the series received the highest test ratings of any drama pilot in 15 years. And one CBS executive said, it's crazy broad appeal that you don't usually see. So there's really something here for everyone. I don't know. I mean, Michelle's a perfect example that it appealed to a female. I don't want to say middle-aged. Skewed medium generation audience. So it was enough to keep her attention. It has gotten some mixed reviews. People say that the Finch character, Michael Emerson's character, is fascinating, and that Caviezel does a great job. New York Daily News gave the pilot 4 stars out of 5. But people are also saying that the crime in the pilot was boring. I don't know. How is crime boring, folks? Anyway.
Well, and it's not necessarily about the actual carrying out of the crime.
No.
That's not the focus. The focus is finding out what's going to happen, yep, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and finding a way to stop it.
It's like knowing there's a speeding train coming through a station that you're at. You don't know when it's coming, you don't know, but you've got to get on it.
Right.
So there's this sense of momentum and urgency to the series, and you know, this is in progress. This is a timeline that will happen. And these guys need to figure out how to intercept that timeline, merge with it, and reroute it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. So Bad Robot is very involved. J.J. Abrams' company. So
I think. Sorry, just one last thing, yep, quickly. The other thing that that generates some appeal, I think, or interest, is that they introduce the character that they're going to be, that they know something's going to happen to.
Yeah.
In each episode, say. Yeah. And so you get to know that character, you get to like that character, you get to... But then in the end, they could be any one of the three people involved. They could be the victim, they, yeah, could be the perpetrator,
yeah,
or they could just be, I don't know...
A witness. Bystander.
Yeah. So you know, if they, if for some reason, turn out to be the perpetrator, you've already invested in this person, and then so it's like a twist at the end, right?
Yeah.
So it always keeps you wondering, and I think that will also give it longevity because it's not going to be, hopefully, too predictable.
Formulaic every time.
Yeah. Anyway.
So it's hard to, I mean, it is hard to tell from the pilot, but I think this, of course, we will have, by the time you hear the show, we will have seen the second episode, so... that'll be the key to me, is that if the second episode still holds that same level of interest and all of these unique qualities to it.
Yeah.
Moving on, speaking of the granddaddy CSI, which has lost its time slot to Person of Interest, it also lost its lead actor in Lawrence Fishburne. Larry moved on, and I haven't really heard. I'm sure there are people out there who read the scuttlebutt and know exactly what happened, but you had said at one point you thought he probably just went,
one season ongoing
TV
enough.
Series, I don't think I want to do that. What I think might have actually happened is he might have gone, wow, did I join this series at the wrong time? I think I'm going to step off again.
Maybe. Like, honestly, though, okay, this is... So Ted Danson has stepped in. Okay?
Yes, he's now the lead of the CSI team in Vegas.
I personally liked him better than Lawrence Fishburne.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Interesting.
I think it's partly the character. Lawrence, yeah, Fishburne's character was very quiet, very private, very unassuming, very, you know, whereas Ted Danson is the one in control.
And he's a bit nuts, too.
Yeah, and he's kind of out quirky. There. He's kind of, yeah. So, honestly, I am not, this doesn't bother me at all. I think it was a good change.
You know what suddenly made me go, aha, as you were talking there? William Peterson as Grissom led that show forever. What was great about that character? Well, he was super smart and just weird.
And like quirky in a fun way.
Socially awkward. And I think they might have just said, you know, that worked better than a guy who blended into the team more.
Mm-hmm. And putting Catherine in charge, too. Maybe that people didn't like that.
Yeah.
And she's now being demoted. She's been
demoted because of, like, the whole Haskell, Nate Haskell, serial killer murdered in last season by Lawrence Fishburne's character. So there
that's
was a
how
big,
they've gotten rid of him, is by saying he was basically fired for that.
And so Catherine was demoted because they covered up for him or tried to cover up for him and whatever. So I don't know.
I think this will be good for it. Maybe it'll be give it some more longevity, give it another few years. Who
knows?
We'll
see. I think
if they can make it through this season, they'll probably be okay for a little while. But yeah.
You know, it's funny, too, because a few of the actors, at least in the core cast of the CSI Vegas, they haven't really done much else. So you got to wonder if, like I was saying this to you when we were watching it, you got to wonder if they're going, wow, this really feels like kind of the twilight of our show.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have left that series and then come back. So you kind of wonder, oh, this is my only gig, so I better...
Well, you know, and maybe... Probably that's half the battle, is hanging on to your cast. If they're all willing to stay and the ratings are not bad, they might continue for a while.
So, just quickly, because we're starting to go along, Modern Family and Big Bang Theory still are probably, I would say, our two favorite comedies.
Yeah.
Modern Family started off this past week with an on-location episode where they all go to a dude ranch.
It was good.
To me, the sign of a great movie, well, for me personally, the sign of a great movie or a great TV episode, and Michelle knows this only too well, is that I immediately go back and rewind 30 seconds and watch something again.
Yes.
So, and Modern Family voted Emmy-wise the best comedy, best supporting actor, best supporting actress, you know, all of these Emmys that they just got. This show deserves it in spades, because you compare it to some of the other comedies that are on, or some of the other comedies that have been around historically on TV, like Happy Days and things like that. It is a great, great show.
Yeah.
You know, they brought in an older actress to play Lily, now that character would have obviously grown up from being a baby, and that worked. Like, this character's talking, and it worked. And it felt, you know, there was a couple rough moments, maybe, but... I think it's just, you know, the show is now in its third season, and it's probably still trying to settle into what it is a little bit. But, man, they've got some talented people on that show.
Yeah.
Really,
it was very
good.
It was a good episode. I was laughing at how they continue to find creative ways to...
For Jay and Phil to rub each other the wrong way.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as they can keep coming up with new stuff, they're going to keep people. So.
And, yeah, just a great series. Great series. And Big Bang Theory, still good. It's still funny.
Yeah.
We somehow missed the premiere, so we ended up watching the premiere and the second episode. Oh, Jim Parsons. No big surprise that he gets Emmys.
Yeah.
He's a funny, funny guy. And Kaylee Cuoco, the way those two play off each other.
They're great together.
Well, and she was great in this. I can't remember if it was the pilot or the second episode, but... There was an extended knock, 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 Penny sequence where she'd open the door and say, what's the word, hummingbird? And it was just funny. Funny.
They're really good together. It was interesting how that chemistry developed, because in the beginning...
You wouldn't have thought.
No. He kind of hated her and whatever. Yeah. But they've really developed a chemistry between them that works really well and just keeps growing and... being funny.
And I think it was last season, there was a couple times where we saw things and you could just see that it was Jim and Kaylee interacting as their characters. It wasn't, you know, they weren't necessarily in the moment with their characters. You could see a little spark of you smart, you know.
Yeah, just, having fun.
Yeah, so very good. That's I think that show's got a few more years under its belt to go.
I would say so.
And then just to wrap up, I guess, to talk about CSI New York. Do you want to touch on that?
Oh, right. Yeah, a lot of different things going on there, which made it feel new again.
It was like we missed the last the final episode of last season because we went, whoa, what's this? They changed a lot.
I think we just forgot a few things that had happened in the last episode of last season, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with this, because it's almost like they're kicking, what's his name,
it's almost like Gary Sinise is leaving.
But so I don't see that happening,
I haven't read that at all. That would be a surprise.
It's an interesting story arc they're on now, so I'll be curious to see where it goes.
You know, and that being said, if Gary Sinise was to pull a William Peterson and pull right out and go back to, you know, his focus on his stage portion of his career more, they've set Cela Ward up beautifully to lead that team.
Yeah.
And I think the chemistry there works really well. But again, to watch the pilot, you don't really get a sense that he's leaving.
He's just kind of going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Basically.
Big focus, not surprisingly, on 9/11, on this season premiere of CSI New York, and what better show to do it? I mean, there's just...
Yeah.
What a classy and appropriate thing to do. Just done very well, and we were talking about it near the end. There's kind of a formal ceremony, and I was just saying, I bet you a lot of these people that are appearing on screen and certainly on the memorial wall are actually people who were involved in 9/11 that were asked to be on the show, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. That would be a very, very classy thing for the producers to have done. So
yeah, so even if you're not a watcher of CSI New York, it's an episode worth watching just because of the tribute to 9/11. Yeah. So,
and a little bit contrived here and there that some of these core cast members would have actually crossed paths on that day and just ended up working together.
Yeah.
A little bit. You need to take that with a grain of salt. But very cool to parachute these characters that you know and love into the 9/11 circumstances and see how they crossed paths and how they were involved and how they all participated and experienced it. So
yeah.
Not surprised. And again, people are listening to this on Wednesday. Terra Nova, the new TV series, which we talked about last time, which has a huge budget and shot in Australia. And we will have watched that. I was hoping to have been able to watch it before we record this week to share our thoughts on that. But we'll have to catch that for next time. So we will. It's a 2-hour pilot, so we'll get back to you with our thoughts on that next time, as well as I'm sure there's a few other things like. Well,
there's that Maria Bello one that also debuted last Thursday that we didn't catch, so we'll have to see if we can find that.
And we also wanted to check out the Christina Ricci series.
Oh yeah, Pan Am,
and also
was that Saturday?
I'm not sure.
The 25th, yeah.
We'll have to find it, and then also. We'll probably want to see the, what's her name? The girl with the good voice from Elf.
Oh, right. New Girl.
Yeah, New Girl. And there's a couple other fall, brand new fall must-see kind of series that I want to check out that premiered. So we'll maybe talk about some more of those next week.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, track down person of interest. Absolutely amazing. Really, really good. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks for sitting next to me.
You're welcome.
And putting up with my...
I think that's the first time you have ever thanked me. Usually you're trying to kick me off.
Wow.
Fire me.
Yeah, you are fired from this no-paying volunteer job. So everybody have a great week. Hope you're enjoying your fall. We're having some crazy nice weather up here as the penguins cry in Antarctica. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.